Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm here Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day.
Like a slave all day. Wait a minute, stop the music. Wait a minute, that's racist. Fats is singing "Got to Work Like a Slave All Day." Isn't that offensive to many Americans? And I think Fats Domino should be brought up on charges. I think he should be retrained by Eric Holder. I think he should be lectured to by the president. I mean, to say work like a slave all day? How dare he diminish the suffering of 150 years ago by incorporating that in a rock and roll song from the 50s? I'm just shocked. I may have to break this record. Now, I'm going to talk about the racism that is not seeping out of the White House, but being delivered by Federal Express to every home in America by Obama, by Holder, and the others in the Troika. It's probably the most dangerous period that I've lived through in American history. I'll say that again. What these racists are doing to this country by attacking police and attacking white people, taking the entire playbook of the radical academic left with the so-called white privilege garbage, is perhaps the most dangerous period in American history in my lifetime. I didn't live in the 1800s. So in order to begin, I'm going to have some fun. You know, there's an old adage, have fun on the radio. No one does that anymore. People say having more fun, they don't have any fun. They're all suffering. They've got ulcers, heart disease, brain hemorrhages. One is either dying every other day or pretending to die every day because his ratings are flagging, whatever. But no one has fun on the radio except me. So what we did over the weekend was, I have a new producer, Jim Verde. Jim's been in radio for 25 years. And so we read over the last Friday that there's an Obama romance movie in the works. We saw Deadline Hollywood. Let me read this. It says, the White House legend that is Barack and Michelle Obama's romance is heading to the screen. Southside With You, a drama in the vein of Before Sunrise, chronicles the summer of 1989 afternoon when the future president of the United States of America wooed his future first lady on an epic first date across Chicago's Southside. Get on Up's Tika Sumter will play Michelle Obama and Nate Robinson while the search is on to cast the young Barack. Well, we read this and we said, how low can the Hollywood Caesars go? Is there no bottom to those with 400-foot yachts who are trying to burn America down by pandering to this troika? But instead of getting mad, we got even. And so Jim said, let me produce something over the weekend about the Obama romance movie in the works. And here it is right now, only on The Savage Nation.
In a time of unrest and revolution in the city of Chicago, something lay below the surface of two radical revolutionaries.
We were at a law firm together. I was a summer associate. She was already practicing law. And I had been sort of eyeing her for a while, but she was acting real professional.
Right. My assumption was this guy's got to be kind of weird.
Love.
He was cuter than I thought he'd be. We clicked right away.
Barack Obama and Michelle Robinson, two radicals falling in love in Southside With You.
We sat out on a curb on a summer day and had ice cream, and that's when I asked her if I could kiss her.
It was a cool date, actually. We spent the whole day together.
One man, one woman, sharing a common goal, transforming a great nation into a racially divided cesspool.
And then we went to see Do the Right Thing.
Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. It just come out.
Barack and Michelle, communing over communism.
And that was another thing that drew me to Barack, was his work as a community organizer.
Fight the power!
Southside With You, a Hammer and Sickle production, now playing in a theater approved by the state, rated R for Radical Revolution.
Jim Verde. Jim gets the thumbs up. I enjoyed hearing that this morning. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Now the show is over. Good night, goodbye, and have a nice day. Now the show's beginning. So what we should do is, Jim, let's play the Communist Internationale, which will probably soon become the new Pledge of Allegiance in America. There you go. That's the one. That's the one that Barack would like us to be singing in the schools of America. Him and all of the writers in Berkeley, and Cambridge, New York City. This is their true allegiance. The death camps. Going over like a lead balloon. All right, you get the picture. Do I have to get into the news now? Okay, let me get into the news. Over the weekend, Berkeley vermin looted and burned and attacked. They were following Pelosi's disturber speech. If you remember in my book, I forget the name of it, Stop the Coming Civil War, I recorded Pelosi's speech at Berkeley last June, a graduation speech. They invited her there to give a speech. And she told the students to become disturbers. Well, I guess they listened to her and took her literally. Because over the weekend, they set stores on fire. They threw bricks and bottles at police. They blocked highways. They broke into a radio shack on Shattuck Avenue. They ransacked the radio shack. Later, they ransacked the whole food store on Telegraph Avenue. They looted it with people taking and passing around bottles of champagne. That's, of course, because they're such injustice in America. Now, we know that the leftists are using Ferguson and Garner to wage a race war. And they have friends in very high places. Holder believes all cops are racists. He's now targeting an unconscious bias. You know, by targeting an unconscious bias, Holder, you're telling us two things. One, that you're a racist in your heart. You know, this is probably the most racist administration in American history. Since everything they talk about is about race, you would say that they're racist, wouldn't you? If they see everything through a racial eye, then they're racist by definition. But for now, for him to go to the next step of 1984, where he says cops have an unconscious bias against blacks, means that he's entering the dangerous waters of thought control, which is what the American left has been after for at least 50 years, if not more. I sent the story to a cop I know, a very good one at that, about what's going on in this country, the destruction of America, the inheritance that we are gaining as a result of Obama and Holder and the racists around them. I'm not mincing words anymore. I'm not going to say in a nice terms what I know is going on. They're trying to destroy this country as sure as I'm sitting here. I sent it to a cop, and he sent this back to me. They're telling police that they need to be retrained. Holder is telling police that all cops are racist, and they need to understand that they're engaged in a pattern and practice of discrimination towards blacks. And the psychotics in the federal government are basing this upon one girl in a sociology department who wrote this. They've now made it federal policy to retrain American cops. The fact of the matter is that the link between blacks and crime is statistically very strong, no matter what they say. African Americans commit 53% of all murders and are 10 times more likely to commit violent crimes than whites. And yet this lunatic girl, college girl, trains cops to resist the stereotype of picking on African American males. They are putting our police at risk. And I sent this to a cop who sent this back to me. He said, it's going to be a societal failure. Give me anyone disagreeing and I will gladly put them in a patrol vehicle in a police uniform for one night in any metropolitan area that I have worked. And he lists several cities he's worked in. I will let them interact with the people that police are being biased against. By 3 a.m., they will never have a bad thing to say about what police do again. Maybe have every race police themselves. Ask the Native American reservations how that is working out for them. That is the most corrupt and biased law enforcement I have ever seen, surpassing the Mexican federales. No protester would dare venture 5 miles south of the Berkeley bubble on an average night, probably because the police, well, you get the picture. I believe that we need a silent strike by American police forces being picked on by this racist administration. I think that they need to call in sick the next time there's a riot and let the rioters do what they will. Only when the rioters run up the hills of Berkeley and invade the white homes of the white liberal professors on tenure who are egging them on will you see societal change for the better. And one of the most telling incidents over this weekend occurred in Berkeley, when a white college professor, probably retired on tenure, no doubt, who was mixed in with the bottle throwers, the flame throwers, the bottle and the police beaters, He saw them looting a Radio Shack store, so the good college professor jumped in and said, "Hey, that's not right. Let's put the merchandise back." And take a guess what his dreadlocked friends and his skateboard wielding friends did to him. They beat him up. And take a guess who had to save him from his friends, the police that he egged on these vermin to attack. And so, therefore, my friends, what goes around comes around. And only when the police turn their back on these rioters and let them run up the hills of Berkeley into the liberal strongholds where the professors who feed this garbage to these drug-addicted lunatics live, will we see any change. And let me say something. You know, for years, I've wondered why the San Francisco Police Department, which is probably still one of the best in the country, basically they're not present except in terms of violent crime. If there's violence, they're there, and they're very brave. But by and large, they look the other way. You know why? They can't win. They cannot win in San Francisco because of rats like this. No matter what the cops do, they're wrong. If they intervene too early, they're racist. If they intervene too late, they're racist. So the cops do nothing. In so many cases, the police say, "Where are the people?" Say, "Where are the police?" If I were a cop, what I would do? If I were called to duty during a riot, I wouldn't show up. Don't tell me about duty. I have duty to my family to come home alive. And if you're not going to let me do my job and protect myself, you can drop dead. That would be my attitude. And unfortunately, it's the attitude of many police because Obama and Holder want to destroy America's police force. Why? Because police are primarily conservative, not entirely, but primarily a conservative body of voters, number one, and they're armed, number two, and they know what Obama and Holder are doing to this country, number three. So now they're trying to ensnare them in the way that you would imagine. They're using all the tricks that the Lilliputians have always used, only then some, and they're very dangerous. And if this country is to survive another 2 years of this racist administration, it's going to be the police on the front line in the blue who are going to have to turn their backs on the next riots and let the rioters have their way in the cities like New York and let the liberals see what they have sown, because there's an old saying out of the Bible. Those who sow the wind shall reap the whirlwind. So all you good liberals in New York, Berkeley, San Francisco, Chicago, who are listening to the Savage Nation, remember this one as well from your youth when you were still virile. Whatever goes around, comes around. And today it's the Radio Shack on Shattuck. Tomorrow it may be your bedroom. Have a nice break, because I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is a blue Monday when you realize that racists have taken over the highest offices in the land. And when I play you Obama's speech in clip four, you'll say, "I guess that he and Al Sharpton have the same speechwriter." Listen to clip four and tell me there's a difference between him and the biggest race baiter in history, Al Sharpton. Listen.
You know, when you're dealing with something as deeply rooted as racism or bias in any society, you got to have vigilance, but you have to recognize that it's going to take some time, and you just have to be steady so that you don't give up when we don't get all the way there.
Get all the way there. Now, what does Obama mean when he says get all the way there? How far do you want to go, Barry? Would you like to put whites in plantations? I mean, that would be justified with your thinking. I mean, that would be the ultimate reparations, wouldn't it? Do you understand how psychotic this is and how the danger we're in? Now, if this guy was just a lunatic college professor on tenure, you could laugh him off as another Berkeley or Bryn Mawr or whatever. Harvard, you know, where they go, those who can't do anything else. The SOS professors, that type. I don't mean the ones in hard sciences. The real sciences are excluded from my diatribe. But those who can't do anything else teach at those places in order to lambast the poor kids, poison their minds, and punish those who disagree with them, you know, as good fascists will do anywhere. If he was just one of those, you'd laugh. You wouldn't even know who he is. But unfortunately, because you were asleep for the last 20 years, and I wasn't, because you were asleep, because the vermin in the media were asleep, because the rats in Hollywood were helping him. The left has now taken over the entire society, and they're going to start a race war. And you say, don't be crazy, you're being inflammatory. It started in Ferguson. They started the race war in Ferguson. Then de Blasio and Obama ignited the flames in New York. Pelosi ignited the flames in Berkeley. When is it going to end? How does it end? When is there going to be a counter-resistance to this? When are we going to resist those who will destroy our way of life? Tell me when. The police are on the front lines. So what are they doing to our police? They're neutralizing them. You see, the radical left in the streets are the infection. They're the virus. Those with the skateboards, the potheads running in the streets who never work, the ones you see never working. Like, I live in San Francisco, right? You walk past the ferry terminal, there's thousands of these vermin on skateboards all day long, and I know they're violent. You can feel it. They're stoned all day long. They harass pedestrians with their skateboards. And you ask yourself, what are they really going to do when it all comes down, man? Well, I'll let you figure it out. But the question is, if they are the refuse of society, which they are, I don't care if they're your children, they're the refuse of society. In the past, we would call them wastrels. There are words for them. Hitler used that type to man his concentration camps. You don't like it? It's too bad. Read your history. I'll say it again. Hitler culled the gutters of Germany, and he culled them of the worst vermin he could find, the most violent wastrels he could find, to man the concentration camps. There are words for this type. And now we have a government appeasing them, marshaling them, and using them as a weapon against the police. Why? Their ultimate goal is to disarm the police and turn them into sort of the Barbies of England. A defenseless, useless police force who has to blow their whistle and call their cell phones to get a gun during a shootout. That's where we're going unless these men are seen for what they are. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
We are dealing with concerns that are truly national in scope and that threaten the entire nation. In the coming days, I will announce updated Justice Department guidance regarding profiling by federal law enforcement. This will institute rigorous new standards and robust safeguards to help end racial profiling once and for all.
This dangerous radical has been thrown out of office, and yet in his last months of his reign of terror, he is now trying to bring the police to a state that they could never function in. This is the most dangerous man to have ever invaded the Attorney General's office, but it's to be expected. When you have a street rat like Al Sharpton invited to the White House over and over again, a lowlife who has made his fortune and his name by attacking the NYPD for the last 40 years. What do you expect is going to happen if he's invited into the White House? Birds of a feather flock together, don't they? So this man, this despicable, disgraced attorney general, whose legacy will be one of eternal shame, now says that all cops are racists, and he is targeting their, quote, unconscious bias. In other words, every time they study racial bias, they find out there is none. Whatever they look at, the evidence, they've opened up 20 investigations, they've pressured 15 consent orders to stop bias policing, and yet there's no evidence found by investigators showing that cops stopped and arrested black people simply because of bias. It didn't stop these racists in the Justice Department from putting handcuffs on the police. Look what they did to the Seattle Police Department. You can read it in Paul Sperry's column in the New York Post. You'll not believe what they've done to the Seattle Police Department. No, whatever they've done has proven that there's no accuracy of any of the complaints. It's just the perpetrators screaming racism every time they're arrested. And they never bothered to get the cop's side of the story. In a 2012 consent decree, the disgraced Eric Holder ordered Seattle to soften its use of force rules and train brass and rank and file alike in a bias-free policing, so-called, that recognizes and eliminates implicit bias. That's thought control. That's mind reading. While disciplining any conduct tied to it. Now, guess what's happened as a result of this racist maniac Holder? Since Holder stepped in and put handcuffs on the Seattle Police Department, Crime is up 13% overall in Seattle. But it's not minor crime. It's the big stuff. As a result of Holder and Obama in Seattle, aggravated assaults up 14%. Car theft up 44%. Murders up 21%. More than 120 Seattle police officers, detectives, and sergeants have now filed a lawsuit against this despicable, disgraced Holder, claiming his debiasing order has jeopardized their own safety. The 80-page suit filed in U.S. District Court contends the reforms have created, quote, listen to this carefully, hesitation and paralysis among officers, robbing them of their ability to make reasonable split-second judgments in the line of duty. Beat cops have now retreated from suspects who threatened them with death or serious injury. The cops are backing down, which is exactly what's going to happen throughout America. We are entering an age of lawlessness unlike any you've ever seen because of these profanity-laced diatribes against the police by Obama and Holder. Now, I use the word profanity because when you lie, that's profane to me. It's profane to continue to lie against the line of blue, the only thing we have separating us from these vandals. And I'm being quite nice when I call them vandals. I have other words for them, which I'm not going to use because they're unnecessary. If you look at the newspapers, you see that they're part of the problem, as you well know. But it's no longer a laughing matter. After the vermin, I mean the vandals, burned and looted in Berkeley and attacked police, by the way. These lowlifes at the San Francisco newspaper, mainly even Cernofsky, I don't know where Cernofsky got his education from, but I assume it was over a seltzer bottle somewhere in Brooklyn. I would just assume that he's a red diaper doper baby of the San Francisco version, where they don't even sell seltzer. Listen to the headline after riots broke out in Berkeley. This is a headline in an actual newspaper. Police use tear gas on Berkeley protesters. I'm not making this up. In other words, they looted, they rioted, they attacked police, people were attacked. This lowlife, Evan Cernofsky, along with Hamed Aliaziz and Greta Kohl of the SF Gate, used this headline, police use tear gas on Berkeley protesters. You talk about yellow journalism. This is red journalism 101. They are the problem. These are the people who have destroyed America. It's the media who has destroyed America. And as a result of vermin like this in the media, we have Obama and Holder now trying to destroy the blue line, the thin blue line that separates us from the lowest of our society. It's that simple. Now, here is an answer from one of the not a protester, but one of those in Berkeley of the type that make my flesh curl. They get me madder than anybody. I actually despise this type of woman more than I do the protesters because these are the people who made it safe for these street rats to act out. Are you ready for this? Minutes before the police dispersed the crowd at about 10:30 p.m., several concerts had let out in the area. Well-dressed concertgoers waiting to pay in a nearby garage were enveloped in a cloud of stinging gas, sending them running into elevators. Elaine Dunlap, 74, who just attended a concert at Zellerbach Playhouse, said, "Oh, I'm not sure that's necessary. I think people have a right to protest, certainly for an issue as big as this." She was sitting with her husband, Greg, tears streaming down their faces. She said, "I've never experienced that, and I'm an old hippie." See, the old hippies in Berkeley are the worst people on the planet. They're the ones who give those asinine smiles and egg on the young, dangerous street vermin who would gladly set them on fire if they could, rob them, rape them, steal their car. But if you should see the S-eating grins on these old Berkeley leftist losers who think it's not going to affect them, you'd be as angry as I am. It's because of them that those in the streets who belong in mental hospitals and prisons are allowed to act out in the streets. But it's not just the newspapers. It's not just the old women in Berkeley with blue hair, the old hippies. Nancy Pelosi gave a speech last June that shocked me. I couldn't believe that a Speaker of the House, or former Speaker of the House of, I almost said the House of Representatives, but I didn't want to say something else. I couldn't. It's a family show. The Speaker of the House, a former Speaker, In the beginning of Stop the Coming Civil War, I actually used this in my chapter, Graduating to Treason. I noted what was going on. I sensed what was coming. And I looked at the speeches that the First Lady gave. Here's Michelle Obama, the First Lady, and I asked, is she trying to agitate these children? She gave a speech at a college. And then I talked about, here's what Attorney General Eric Holder said in his graduation speech. He was stirring them up. And then I go down the list to Timothy Geithner. Remember him? But then I got to Nancy Pelosi on page 4. Remember, I started my book knowing what these people were going to do. I saw this coming. And here's what I wrote. Finally, here is none other than Nancy Pelosi, a very wealthy woman acting as if she's a member of the Occupy Wall Street movement. When you read this, you'll understand that these four graduation speakers are trying to exacerbate class and racial division in this country. Here is what Nancy Pelosi said at a speech at Berkeley to graduating seniors last spring. Our founders were successful disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment. You here in Berkeley are already disruptors in many ways. In 1964, Mario Savio and company were disruptors of the status quo, too. When he and his fellow activists occupied Stroll Hall, their exercise of free speech could only travel as fast as television, radio, and through newspapers. Think of your possibility, she said. Now it's all about you. In my view, I said Pelosi is inciting them to become disruptors. Well, my friends, was I wrong? Who saw what was coming? Me. Who told you that this was going to happen? Me. Who warned you what else is going to happen? Me. What am I warning you is coming? Hey, hey, ho, ho, arm yourselves or you got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, arm yourself or you got to go. That's just a joke. Trying to match fire with fire. So let's go back. Nancy Pelosi egged the seniors on, telling them that they're very noble disruptors. So when the vermin were marching the other night in Berkeley, the idiots in college, the freshmen and sophomores, came out of the classes and marched with the morons. Then as they started to trash and burn and loot and steal and stuff, the freshmen and the sophomores, the brainwashed, the Ritalin users, the Adderall girls, an entire nation filled with an entire generation of drug addicts. Little children who were raised on Adderall and Ritalin and other mind-active, mind-bending substances, caught up thinking that they're protesters for a good cause. They, too, were in this mess. And then when the tear gas went, they said, police brutality, evil police. After all, we're just protesting. Yeah, well, why were you breaking stores and robbing champagne and radio goods? Why were you doing that? Well, only a few zanies did that. No, you did it. You did it, girl. You did it, you little jerk. You're the one who did it. Now, many of us would like to see law and order restored to this country. If only there was a law and order, rock-rib Republican candidate, my God, would we get behind them. Who is that? Tell me who it is. Tell me who the law and order candidate is waiting in the wings. Tell me, name one. Have you heard one word from Rand Paul about law and order in the midst of all these riots? No, not one word. Have you heard Cruz say one word about law and order? No, not one word. They've all been taken over by the very same machine that gave us Mitt Romney. So if you think they're better, maybe you're right. Maybe they're a little better than Romney, but they're not much better than Romney. They're all constrained right now. They're all being advised by the John McCain Advisory Committee. They're all on the same page, which is be quiet, keep your head low, and let's wait for 2016. Say nothing when we need them. So it falls to men in the media like me to stand up and say what's going on. I see what's going on. I know what's going on, and I know what's coming. Unless Holder and Obama are called out in a public hearing, meaning unless those spineless Republicans that we just elected hold a hearing on the racism in Obama and Holder's administrations. Let me say that. Unless there are hearings held immediately about the inherent racism in the Justice Department and the inherent racism in Obama's speeches, they're going to escalate the violence. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. We'll be right back. So Berkeley saw riots two nights in a row, real bad riots, bad vandalism. This morning, the Verrazano Narrows Bridge was shut down by the vermin, and the police couldn't do anything. So-called protesters shut down the Verrazano Bridge in New York City, blocking people from going to work and from going to hospitals. What if somebody was in an ambulance, you pieces of garbage, you self-righteous communist vermin? What if there was an old man or an old woman in an ambulance on the way to a hospital? Did you think about them? Do you care about anybody but yourself and your drug dealer? Now, I know the solution to this, which is a law and order mayor. You have the opposite in New York. A law and order president, we have the opposite in the White House. Water hoses, dogs, anything to get them off that freeway. It's a public roadway. It's a violation of federal and state laws. Again, where's the governor? Nowhere to be found. He's another left-wing useless idiot. The police should have swept the vermin off the road. You don't block a highway. You don't block a road onto a major thoroughfare without causing severe damage to commerce and to life and safety. Police did nothing. They've been neutralized by the communist Mayor Lenin. They've been neutralized by the fabulous governor of New York, another one who thinks he'll be president one day. But what he should know is that Nicaragua is not America. We need a law and order candidate to save this country from the damage that this socialist, progressive regime has done to this country. Now, we had an election, but they nullified it. How did they nullify it? Why did they nullify it? Well, listen now. I'll get to that in the next hour. I want you to listen to Nancy Pelosi. We found her speech. I hold her responsible for what happened in Berkeley over the weekend. Listen to this woman.
Our founders were successful disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment. You here in Berkeley are already disruptors in many ways. In 1964, Mario Savio and company were disruptors of the status quo, too. When he and his fellow activists occupied Sproul...
I'll turn her off. You know, she's normally laughed at. She's looked upon as a laughing stock by everyone. But I am a man who is paid to do work for you. You know what my job is? To do the work you can't do. You don't have the time for it. I remember things. I piece them together. I put them together. I write about them. And I talk about them. So when I saw the riots over the weekend in my hometown, San Francisco, Berkeley, I said, they're not acting alone. They were given a green light by the highest offices. Nancy Pelosi signaled them last June or May when she gave that speech at UC Berkeley, my alma mater. I have a PhD from that university. I love that university. I worked very hard for it. They have never invited anyone who is patriotic to give a graduation speech. They invite the most uneducated, anti-American dolts they can find to give graduation speeches to the vulnerable young. The most vulnerable of our society are the drug daughters, the Adderall children. The Adderall girls who can memorize very well, who don't have a brain in between their ears. An entire generation of Adderall girls laying down with the worst vermin society has ever seen. The skateboarders are their friends. Have they no idea what will happen to them without the police? Have they no idea who Nancy Pelosi really is? Have they no idea that she was not ennobling them by telling them that they were disruptors, but she was provoking them? Has she no idea that she has blood on her hands for what happened this weekend? Do the police of Berkeley and San Francisco remember that speech? I doubt it. I showcased that speech in the opening four pages of Stop the Coming Civil War because I saw what this administration would be doing to this country. I heard what they were going to be doing in the speeches of Michelle Holder and Nancy Pelosi, all showcased in the most important book of the year. And if you think I'm selling you a book, you're crazy. I'm trying to save America from what these people are going to try to do to it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hour number two of the Savage Nation, increasingly agitated by the communist left. You could laugh about it if you will, but you don't even understand what communism is. There's all varieties of communism, from the soft to the very hard. Ask the Russians. Ask the people who left Russia whether we're living through a communist revolution in America or not. Ask them if de Blasio is not a duplicate of Lenin. Ask them if Obama is not a duplicate of Marx. Ask them if Obama, if Holder, is not a duplicate of Svengali, just to change things up a bit. Holder is now attacking all police, calling them all racist, saying that they have an unconscious bias. This comes right out of the communist universities, where girls who have never fired a Daisy BB gun are teaching cops how to think through debiasing training. As a result, the lives of the police are now in danger. The brazen protesters, and I would not call them protesters, they're violent communists, radical anarchists, whatever you want to call them. I love when suddenly, when the left riots and blocks a bridge, they're protesters. If the right ever blocked a bridge, let's say, what would they be called? Fascists? Does it matter whether you call them left or right? What was the difference, after all, between Hitler and Stalin? Need I give you a little historical lesson on the difference between Hitler and Stalin? Till you finally understand that they were both socialists. They both came to power through street mobs. Both came to power by marshaling street mobs, the way the mobs are being marshaled by the Troika in the White House. These, my friends, are dangerous times. Obama says racism is deeply rooted in society. That means that he himself is racist. Who does he mean? If he says that racism is deeply rooted, that means it's rooted in all of us. That means it's racist, and he has racism in him. He was never, ever, ever qualified to be president. If you listened to the man's speeches, if you listened to the preacher whose racist church he sat in for 20 years, if you analyzed the people he hung around with before he was foisted upon us, he would have been disqualified to even be an FBI agent. You know that at the time, Obama could not have cleared the requirements to be an FBI agent, let alone a Secret Service agent, because of his past associations? And for good reason. Look what he's done to the country. And he's only warming up. He's got 2 big years left to destroy everything. 2 big years left to destroy everything. So in New York, they blocked traffic over the Verrazano Bridge. That's the bridge going to Staten Island. Snarled it right in rush hour Monday morning. Ask those vermin who blocked the bridge if there were any pregnant women who were in ambulances or old people on the way to a hospital. Ask them if there was a young illegal alien on the way to a job in a restaurant and he lost his job as a result of their selfish anarchistic behavior. These self-righteous phonies. This is what police are paid to do, sweep the rubbish off the gutters. Police are paid to sweep this kind of rubbish off the streets. But because their hands have been tied by the governor of New York and the mayor, Mayor Lenin of New York City, poor innocent people were prohibited from going to work, hospitals, school, you name it, all because of self-righteous. God only knows what they do for a living. Who are these protesters, quote-unquote? Where do they get their money from? Who is egging them on? Who? From the White House to the State House to the City House. They're being egged on by the communist revolutionaries who have seized a soft sort of power in this country. So wherever you turn now, all you hear is about racism. You know, when Obama was running for office way back when in 08, I think, 7, 07? He won in 08, right? The New Yorker did a cartoon that was shocking. They did it as a parody of what right-wing people, meaning right-thinking people, thought about Michelle and Barack Obama. And it was about two revolutionaries with big, big hair, wearing love beads, smoking dope. And they thought it was a parody and a joke. So they were attacked for it. Sometimes the truth is stronger than fiction. Sometimes art imitates life. Sometimes life imitates art. But I think that they were right. I think of that parody, that cartoon. I forget almost nothing. I forget almost nothing, and I can put the pieces together better than anybody in the media. I remember what that picture said about Barack and Michelle Obama. Have they really not lived up to that picture of wild-eyed, radical, left-wing fanatics? And so now we read that it gets even worse. The guys in Hollywood who want their tax breaks restored, the ones with the 400-foot yachts, Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg, those who run Hollywood, Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg, and Spielberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Matzenberg, and Spielberg, apparently want their tax breaks restored by the big man, and so they're going to do a Kiss Kiss Love Love biopic movie about how Michelle met Barry with ice cream and kisses, coming to a movie in your neighborhood soon, approved by the government, will probably be have to be played in every elementary school by government edict, and if you don't watch the movie, you're a racist, I suppose. So we put this together over the weekend. My new producer, Jim, did this for us. Let's listen.
In a time of unrest and revolution in the city of Chicago, something lay below the surface of two radical revolutionaries.
We were at a law firm together. I was a summer associate. She was already practicing law. And I had been sort of eyeing her for a while, but she was acting real professional.
My assumption was this guy's got to be kind of weird.
Love.
He was cuter than I thought he'd be. We clicked right away.
Barack Obama and Michelle Robinson, two radicals falling in love in Southside With You.
We sat out on a curb on a summer day and had ice cream, and that's when I asked her if I could kiss her.
It was a cool date, actually. We spent the whole day together.
One man, one woman, sharing a common goal, transforming a great nation into a racially divided cesspool.
And then we went to see Do the Right Thing.
Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. It just come out.
It just come out.
Barack and Michelle communing over communism.
And that was another thing that drew me to Barack, was his work as a community organizer.
Fight the power!
Southside With You, a Hammer and Sickle production, now playing at a theater approved by the state. Rated R for Radical Revolution.
Yep, Jonathan Swift would be proud of me. Here's a headline from the New York Daily News. Black guerrilla gang preparing to shoot on-duty police officers. This is what you've wrought, Mayor Lennon. A tattooed gang of militants declared open season on the New York Police Department over the weekend. An NYPD confidential informant learned of the threat on Friday evening, 3 days after the grand jury decided not to indict Officer Daniel Pantaleo. New York PD cops warned militant group Black Guerrilla Family preparing to shoot on-duty police officers. This is as a result of Obama, Holder, and Lennon. How would you like to have a cop as a husband or as a brother or as a son trying to police that city? And all of you communists in New York, all of you phonies, you phonies, you. Let's say you're walking down a street 2-3 in the morning after being out at night, and you see the individuals you love so much walking from across the street towards you. Let's say there's three of them. The ones you love so much that you say are oppressed, and you have a few seconds to react. You pull out your iPhone. Who do you call? NYPD? You call 911 or ACLU? You know who you'd call. You'd call the very people you hate. You'd call the police. So my friends, these are very dangerous times. I don't know what you can do about it other than to stay close to home and be very, very, very carefully armed in protecting yourself and your family from what is coming in this country, because I truly believe in my heart of hearts that this band of revolutionaries who have seized power in this country are intent upon bringing upon something much worse than what we're seeing in New York City and Berkeley and Los Angeles and Chicago right now. If they have to, they'll burn it all down. These are diehard revolutionaries intent upon destroying everything around them. I don't know what else to say. I'm out of words. I'm out of words, and I rarely get out of words. I could parse it. I could dice it. I could splice it. I could say it like it isn't. But unless we have immediate hearings held by the Republicans, irrespective of whether the press covers the hearings or not, the very least we should get from the conservatives who were just elected is immediate hearings on the inherent racism in Eric Holder's Justice Department and the inherent bias and racism in Barack Obama's speeches over the last 6 years and how dangerous they are for America. They're allowed to hold hearings on anything. They hold hearings on the dangers of donuts. They hold hearings on the dangers of soda. How about the dangers of racism coming out of the Attorney General's Justice Department? Wouldn't that be more dangerous than a donut? A sugar-laced donut? Where the hell is the leadership in this country? Where the hell is the law and order candidate on the Republican side? I don't see one. I see good men. I see nice men. I see fine men. None of them are law and order candidates. Not one of them. You tell me who is. Tell me who. Rand Paul? Soapbox Rand is going to be the one who's going to lead the country? Soapbox Rand is going to save us. Cruz is going to save us. They're good men. They're smart men. They've got great positions. I don't think they're strong enough to lead the country. How's that? Am I allowed to say that? We need a strong law and order candidate to run this country and save the country and save us from what Obama and Holder have done to this nation and are about to do to this country. And then hold trials. Hold trials on those who have done so much damage to our borders, language, and culture and make them culpable. That would be the candidate I would vote for. Somebody who promised me not only to save the country through a law and order administration and support for the police and military, but a war on Islamism, a war on the radical Muslims in the country, a war on the radical communists in this country, and then retribution upon those who have damaged this nation over the last 6 to 8 years. That would be a candidate I would work for. But where is that candidate? Who is it? Who is that candidate? Sarah Palin? Mitt Romney? Name the candidate. I don't know who it is. They're good men. They're good women. They're not strong enough. You need someone with the guts to stand up to the vermin in the media. The guts to take it from Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Katzenberg. The guts to tell it like it is and talk about their tax credits and their 400-foot yachts and how well they do making believe they're part of the Occupy movement. The only thing they occupy are 400-foot yachts and mansions all over the world. Meanwhile, they stir up the people on the bottom by putting out this rubbish. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
You know, when you're dealing with something as deeply rooted as racism or bias in any society, you got to have vigilance, but you have to recognize that it's going to take some time, and you just have to be steady so that you don't give up when we don't get all the way there.
Our police officers cannot be and cannot be seen as an occupying force disconnected to the communities that they serve.
Two of the worst people in the history of American politics. No different than Al Sharpton, albeit smoother, better educated. The same street radicals, two law degrees, tearing America apart from the roots, ripping America apart from the roots out. They were just basically voted out of office. The people went to the polls, those of us who think and work, as opposed to those who don't think and don't work. And we said no. There was a landslide. There was an earthquake. And instead of saying we'll toe the middle line, they've gone further to the left, all the way to the revolutionary left. And where is Hillary Clinton, who poses as a centrist? Nowhere, because she's one of them. Same exact playbook. They're all running off the same player piano. They bought the player piano. The keys were punched out in a factory for all of them. I loved Obama's speech. You don't give up until we get all the way there. Now, what is all the way there? When will they be there? When will they be there? What has to be accomplished for them to be there? Does that mean that those members of Occupy get your house? Does that mean that illegal aliens are given rooms in your houses, all of you Upper East Side women whose husbands left you or you left them? You have empty rooms in your apartment. Why don't you give one to an illegal alien family, as was done in Boris Pasternak's novel Dr. Zhivago? You say it can't happen here? Why not? What if Eric Holder said that there are too many empty houses and apartments sitting in America, and in the name of fairness, we're going to ask you to give up just one bedroom, if you have more than a two-bedroom unit, to a poor illegal alien family from Guatemala? How many of you would do it? Well, you may not do it. You may think it's a good idea, but what if he forces you to do it through a consent decree? Would you say anything then? The same kind of this consent decree he's using against police forces right now? Tomorrow could be based on housing. I was at a party in Marin many years ago, 10 years ago. Marin County, so-called affluent suburb it is, and it's filled with a lot of coupon-clipping phonies who pretend that they're rich, but they're not. They're living on the edge of the skin of their teeth, all acting like they're movie stars because they have eyeglasses and a Range Rover. They ride around in sunglasses. Everyone's a star behind their car. They go home, they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. All right, put that aside. So all these retirees are with the barbecue and this and that. And it's when Obama just took power, I said, look, you have a house, your children left. There's four bedrooms. Why don't you give two of the bedrooms to illegal aliens? I said to two liberals. Well, needless to say, I never went back to that little party. Last night, I went to a dance club in Marin County. I go once, twice a year. The guy who runs it is a bit of a jerk, but the music is great. So the minute I walk in, he's very nice to dogs. He sent over two pieces of provolone to Teddy, which I thought was very nice. I bought a guy, a Mexican guy, a drink who came over and introduced himself to me. He says, remember when Artie introduced us? I bought him a drink. So the owner of the place comes over, and before we know it, I said, you know, this guy's Mexican. I said, but we believe in the same things. He's from the old school. He sees the world the way I do. And the guy said, you're right. Old Mexican guy, him and I look at the world the same way. The owner said, the same crap that we had from the last two presidents, that wanted the same. I said, wait a minute, I study this for a living. You just run a little bar here. I don't care what you study, it's all crap, he says to me. You're right, crap, I don't know. Books mean nothing to me. Wait till you hear what evolved from this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're talking about the inherent racism that is seething and seeping out of Obama, where in his defeat at the polls, he has now gone back to form, back to his days at Columbia, where he found out being a radical paid. Before then, he was not really radicalized. You know, he was from a mixed-race family. I mean, his grandmother, the white woman, paid for his college. So far as I know, he never delivered newspapers. He never served soda. He never worked as a busboy or a lifeguard as I did. Every step was paid for by the grandmother, so he could enjoy himself at Occidental College, then Columbia. And his own biography says that at Columbia, he learned that when he suddenly became radical and pretended to be a black radical, everyone like rallied around him. It was like, wow, man, that's cool. And then he got more and more. He doubled down on it. That's what he's doing now as president. He's going back to that model. In other words, get more radical and they'll love you more. Doesn't matter what damage he does along the way. And the ones taking the brunt of it now are the storekeepers in the cities being affected by the vermin and the police. Where this ends, you know, anyone can guess where this ends. It's very bad right now. So I want to go back to the little personal story of how hard it is to talk to ignoramuses, people without educations in particular, people who are unlearned. And, you know, I'm going to be very sensitive about this. I have in front of me on the broadcast desk a picture of my deceased grandfather, Sam, who was the astronaut of the family. Came here from Russia, worked for 7 years in a little tailor shop, sent money home to Russia to bring over my grandmother and my father and my aunt. And then he died at 47 from overwork and whatever. I have a picture of him. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. Nice suit. He was a high-end tailor. He never really made any money here. He worked very hard. The point is I'm sensitive to the immigrant story because I am an immigrant son, and I respect hardworking people. The problem is that there are immigrants who respect education and respect the country that they emigrate to. And then there are the idiots who are so filled with themselves because they make 50 or 100 grand a year or whatever, 125,000 a year, running a dance club somewhere. They think that they're suddenly Donald Trump. So they have no respect for anything. They think that they're smart because they can make pasta fazool and that people eat their food, and a bunch of lowlives dance in their nightclub. So I come in the place. I've been there before. Nice to dogs. I don't particularly care for the atmosphere or the people. I like the music. And, you know, it's a bunch of old white women looking for their last run on the merry-go-round. Let's put it to you that way. The last ride on the merry-go-round is where they go here. Good for them. They want to have a little fun. The music's great. She sends over a waiter with two pieces of provolone cheese, which I thought was adorable. Teddy was happy, so we elbowed our way to the back of the place near the bar so I could give Teddy the cheese. And I say the Mexican guy, an older gentleman, introduced himself. Remember me, Michael Sam? Yeah. Let me buy you a drink. That's the way. So I buy him a drink. The owner comes over. Before long, I said, you know, this guy, he's from Mexico. I'm from New York. I said, we're different cultures, different races, but we agree. She says, I'd like to know what you agree about. You know, an Italian guy knows everything. I've met this type before. There are types of Italian immigrants who respect learning and education, and then there are the types who have no respect for anything because they think they know it all because they make $100,000 a year selling old spaghetti. He's in the latter category. So I said, you know, the damage that this president has done to this country is overwhelming. Oh, the two presidents that we had, they're one of the same garbage, both filth, both garbage. I said, look, I study this for a living. You don't study it. You're running a nightclub. I don't need to study. I said, I write books on the subject. Books are garbage. They're crap to me. He says, I know from people. I don't need from books. I know from people. I said, you know, ignorance is ignorance, no matter where it occurs. I don't need no degrees. He says, I speak many languages. I said, ignorance is ignorance in many languages. I speak five languages, he said. I said, so you're ignorant in five languages. You don't know what's going on. Well, one word led to the other, and I knew it wouldn't end well. So you know what I did? I turned my back and I walked away. I went over to the other side of the place. It was jam-packed with a great Cuban band. The music was fantastic. And I felt my ire rising because generally when I'm in public, I will not argue with people. You ask anyone who knows me, I'm invisible. And I'm invisible. I keep to myself with the dog. And I go to the other side of the dance floor where there's a line of chairs. As an empty chair next to a woman, I said, you mind if I sit in? No, sit with the dog, sit with Teddy in my lap, and the dancers are like, you know, moving to the salsa, and the music's beautiful. Now, normally, Teddy has been there with me a few times. He likes it. He was very restless. He wouldn't sit still in my lap. He wouldn't get calm. He wanted to leave. He felt the vibes. He knew it was a bad place for Dad, and I couldn't calm him down. Despite the cheese from the ignoramus in the nightclub in Sausalito. Despite the cheese, I couldn't take also the marijuana breath, frankly. I couldn't take the stink of the marijuana in the club. You know, there's no law in Sausalito. I even complained before we had the argument. I said, you know, you ought to stop who's ever smoking in here. It's offensive. It was awful, just horrible, the smell. So by and large, we left. And the dog finally calmed down. Hi, Teddy. In the car, got him home. Fed him, cut up the chicken, got him in bed. We watched Homeland. And then we watched The Affair. I couldn't watch The Affair. Half an hour of Showtime is all like, The Affair is so boring. It was good. Then it was, ugh. You know, some of the lines are good. It's just, but Homeland was pretty good. The Arabs that are shown, excuse me, not the Arab, pardon me, the Afghani terrorists are so vividly portrayed. They are so brutal looking. I don't know where they get these actors from. I have no idea. I know the guy who plays Haqqani. Where do they get such a villain from? He's like every shopkeeper that you've avoided your whole life. The thing is that our soldiers who have the guts to go there and fight them are now being deballed by Obama. Just as our police, who have the guts to fight the vermin in the gutters, are being handcuffed by Obama and Holder. It's a very dangerous time. Trust me. Just got this from a researcher. Remember I told you Seattle officers sued Holder over the use of force lawsuit? They lost it. A communist U.S. district judge ruled that the Seattle Police Department officers' arguments were not supported by the Constitution or case law. Now, you know what a judge is, don't you? Basically, most judges are fundamentally political lawyers. But the judge's name already, Judge Marsha Peckman, tells you everything you need to know. Judge Marsha Peckman. I'm very sensitive to names. I can tell you right now by Judge Marsha Peckman's name that I know she's a red diaper doper baby lawyer who is now wrecking everything she touches. Marsha Peckman. She said, no, the lawsuit has no validity, Ron. In the ruling, Judge Peckman also said that the officers cannot sue Merrick Bob, the court-appointed monitor overseeing the reform process. Bob was one of the defendants named in the suit, but the judge said that Bob has absolute immunity from lawsuits related to his work helping the city meet the terms of a settlement agreement with the U.S. Department of Injustice. It's one of the key documents guiding the police reforms, meaning handcuffing police in Seattle. The other defendants named in the suit were U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, Mayor Ed Murray, and the city of Seattle. Now, I'd like to know if they're going to appeal this. The Seattle Police Officers Guild did not support the officers' lawsuit, no doubt, because these police officers' guild are political rather than police. Let's see. Tramuntanas, the lawyer representing some of the officers, said a decision on whether to move forward with an appeal will be made in the next 30 days. I don't know if they should appeal it or could appeal it, but they're trying to fight the communist takeover of the police across America. This is very dangerous right now. How in the world do you expect men... I compare them to wolfhounds. I got to keep telling you who police are. We are surrounded by wolves of the type that burned and looted and closed highways. They're the wolves. You get it? The rapists, the murderers, the arsonists, you name it. They're the wolves. We are the sheep. The police are the wolfhounds. If you disempower the wolfhounds, tell me what's going to happen. The wolves are going to become empowered. They're going to come closer to your door. And who's going to be there when the wolfhounds have been chased away? There's going to be nobody between all of you long ponytailed hippies in the hills of Berkeley and Oakland. Just you. And what do you have next to your bed to defend yourself and your family? Tell me what you're going to use. I bet you have a telephone book. I love all the Berkeleyites who are against guns when they see these burnings and lootings. Well, I wouldn't get a gun. That's violent. But what do you have? What if someone breaks in and wants to hurt you and your wife, your aging wife? Well, I have a baseball bat. A lot of them have baseball bats. You ever hear that one? Baseball bats going to hold off a gang of marauders breaking down their door. I love that. Baseball bats. Some of them, I think, have mace. Some of them will probably go out and try to reason with the vermin, the lowlifes. They'll actually reason with them, invite them in to discuss it. Let's just discuss it. You see, the naivete of the left is overwhelming. They're not all evil. I know these people. I don't know them anymore. I have nothing to do with them for 30 years, but I know of them. I know what they're like. Many of them are quite decent as people, but they're naive, extremely naive. And their naivete is very dangerous. It's the same naivete that wants to rewrite the rules of engagement for our troops in Afghanistan. And I'll tell you how Afghanistan ends. No matter who the president is, you know how it ends? The way the British... lost Afghanistan. Read the history of Britain, the old Britain, when it was still run by men, before the Wobblies took over, and you'll see what happened to the British in Afghanistan, on the mountains of Afghanistan. I watched the movie The Last Survivor over the weekend again with Mark Wahlberg. Great movie. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch the pain and the hurt that the men went through escaping from these throwbacks. Because one thing you got to say about the Afghani tallies, they've been fighting for 1,000 years and they're not suddenly going to stop. And there's only one answer to it, which is B-52s. And unless you're willing to use the B-52s, then don't even go there. Don't send Mrs. Smith's son to die in the mountains of Afghanistan. It's futile. The tallies are going to win. The reason that we have advanced weaponry is to destroy men like that and everything around them. And unless we're willing to do that, we shouldn't be engaged in a war with them, because then we're not in a war with them. And I still don't know what we're doing in Afghanistan, by the way. I thought about that over the weekend. Why are we in Afghanistan? Can anyone explain it to me? Tell me what we're doing there. I have no idea what we're doing there. The one ally who we should be befriending in the war against Islamic terrorism is Putin. And he's the one ally that Obama has turned into an enemy. He's the one ally that Hillary Clinton has called Adolf Hitler. Our natural ally against radical Islam is Russia and Putin. And what has Obama done? Alienated our number one ally. Said that he's going to impose sanctions on Israel and remove sanctions against Iran. It's Alice in Wonderland. And so you ask yourself, where does this end? From the domestic to the international, they're upsetting the entire world. And we are going to suffer for this for decades to come. unless the American people can be awakened to the damage that this radical communist in the White House is doing to this country with his troika. That's what I was trying to say to the ignorant dummy who runs a dance club in Sausalito last night. But he said to me, well, I don't need to know what you want. You study. What study? You write books. Books are crap to me. I don't need books. I know people. That's what he knows. In other words, he knows a certain spectrum of pot-smoking dancers, and that's his idea of the world. So he takes that and he projects it out into the world around him, and he can categorically say Bush and Obama are just the same. You try to give him facts, reason. Oh, don't give me the fact. They're garbage. I don't need no fact. I went to the sixth grade. Look what I make. I make $100,000 a year now. I can make a good spaghetti with a ravioli. They all come here. Okay, you get the picture, right? Don't talk to... Wait. So I said to a friend of mine as I was leaving, nice guy, doctor, dancer, special forces, love him. Can't mention his name. This guy's my hero. I wrote about him. I actually fictionalized Doc in two of my novels. He's called Doc in Abuse of Power and A Time for War. And I fictionalized the real Doc, who is a former, I think he's Green Beret, and grew up in the Bay Area in a peace community, became a warrior. He said it's in his German blood. Then he became a doctor, and he's a great musician, and he's an all-around wonderful guy, and I love the guy. He's like a new friend of mine I've had for a number of years. He and I get along so great. So as I'm leaving, I told him what happened. He saw the whole thing, and he said to me, he says, look, what can you do? He said, that's the way these people are. I said, you know, Doc, I said, someone wrote that hell is a place where there is no reason. I said, in that club, we were just in hell. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So Holder and de Blasio and Obama are putting a chokehold on the police across America. They're using racial profiling on the police of America. You understand what they're doing? They're racially profiling white cops across America. Their racism is so naked that it's plain for anyone to see, and yet nobody will say it. My job is to see things and say them the way I see them. I'm paid to see things, and I'm paid to say things. So what I'm going to say is what I see. I can't parse or mince words. I'm not the no spine zone. If I was the no spine zone on Fox News, I would parse and have guests on who say nothing as well. It's that simple. What's the solution to all of this? There's a lot of solution to this. We went to the polls. That was the beginning. We're going to probably have to organize protests very soon. We're going to have to agitate. We're going to have to protest. We're going to have to do everything the left does, but there's more of us than them. And we're going to have to organize this. That's going to have to happen in 2015 if we're to be saved from these racists running the country off the cliff. Vinny on WABC, I've taken almost no calls. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Thank you so much for sending me that book. You sent me a book, but I won't go into that right now. What I'm saying is I have a solution to the problem with the cops, the white cops. They should take them out of the housing projects, get them out of there, and let minority police officers take care of it, and it'll erase the race base.
All right, so you're saying we should racially profile police and put only blacks in black housing projects. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, because they're going into the death.
I don't think that Obama would allow police to be racially profiled. He's against racially profiling criminals, so why would he racially profile cops?
Well, you're handcuffing the cops. You're not letting them do their jobs. You're not letting
I agree with you. I would say take the police out of the housing projects altogether, since it's such a paradise. It's a workers' paradise, the housing projects. And the people are living in paradise because the only thing keeping them from enjoying their lives and prosperity are the white pigs around, the white police in uniform. I think the answer is to remove all police from housing projects and let the gangs take over.
Right.
And then the residents will understand what reality is. Let the gangs run the projects. That's all. What do you need police in there for at all if they're so obstructionist? Listen to de Blasio. They're all racist. So remove the police from the housing projects. That's all. That's the solution. Another big hour across America. Thanks for listening thus far. I'll be right back. I'm Michael Savage, author of Stop the Coming Civil War.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have a whole series of things we have to do to change the dynamics in our city. This is true all over the country. We have to retrain police forces in how to work with communities differently. We have to work on things like body cameras that will provide a different level of transparency and accountability. This is something systemic, and we bluntly have to talk about the historic racial dynamics that underlie this.
We have to retrain mayors, communist mayors like de Blasio. They have to be sent to re-education camps. We have to, after this siege is over, we have to retrain Obama and Holder because of the racism they have perpetrated on this nation. We have to re-educate and retrain all of those in the media to see the damage they are doing on a daily basis. We have to have an honest and forthright discussion with Katzenberg, and Ratzenberg to show them the damage they're doing in the Hollywood dream factories that they own and control, what they're doing to the minds of the world, how they not only incite the vulnerable youth to act in immoral and decadent and criminal ways, but also how they incite the Muslim world. Never forget that the violent garbage, the pornography, put out under the guise of art by Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, in Hollywood, is shown around the world, not only on satellite television, but in movie theaters. And whether you like it or not, most Muslims are God-fearing traditionalists. They despise the filth that Katzenberg, Ratzenberg are disseminating to the world. And this filth is probably responsible for inciting more of the hatred and violence towards America than anything else. It's not Israel, per se, that matters to the average Muslim. They are also the man in the street. It's the vermin and the filth, rather, that they see coming out of America, the garbage. They see the girls, they see the guys, they see the effeminate men, they see the Jezebel women. And to traditionalists, this is offensive. And so we need to re-educate Hatzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg as to the damage that their genius is doing to the world. These are geniuses. Anyone who can make movies like that, I watch movies, I love movies, but I understand how powerful they are. They speak right to the soul of man. And as such, they can be profoundly uplifting or profoundly the opposite. Unfortunately, when have you last seen an uplifting film? When have you last seen a film that glorified a great figure, forget American, any great figure other than some left-wing, God? Man, when I was young, I'd see movies about Madame Curie or Louis Pasteur, about great doctors, great scientists, great war heroes. When have you last seen a movie like that? Very few, if there are any. And when have you last seen a movie which shows you the radical Muslim for who they are? We waterboarded some of them to stop an atomic attack or whatever, and they cut off heads and bury people alive, and the vermin on the Senate Intelligence Committee now want to release CIA reports showing that the CIA tortured them after 9/11? That's because Leahy, known as Leaky Leahy, is another fellow traveler of the communist left. The Senate Intelligence Committee also has none other than the likes of the pristine Dianne Feinstein, a woman way so above any suspicion. There is no relationship between Dianne Feinstein's position on the Senate Intelligence Committee and any of her husband's contracts. None whatsoever. Anyone who thinks that should be arrested immediately. She is above it all. And yet she's attacking the CIA. Why? Why do they continue to attack the CIA? Tell me why. How can that help America? Tell me how that helps us. Ex-CIA Chief Hayden to Newsmax, torture report will cripple the agency. Bush says ex-CIA Chief Senate report on torture inaccurate. House Intelligence Chief Rogers says the release will spur attacks. Do you understand what they're about to do to this country now? UN survey says climate change is the least of humans' worries. As international delegates struggle to reach a climate change agreement in a new round of talks, the United Nations survey of 6.7 million people shows the world doesn't care much about global warming. That's because the world is smarter than the liars in the United Nations. Iranian officials vow to get nukes, target Israel and U.S. forces. And Obama is about to take sanctions off Iran and put them on Israel. Is it any wonder I went off on a tirade against liberal American Jews who don't understand what they are done, what they are doing by supporting Democrats, right or wrong? Do they not understand it? Then I finally realized why they do it. They hate Israel. Most liberal Jews have no connection to Judaism other than by, let us say, some kind of light association with an ancestry, but they have no relationship to Israel. They don't even like Israel. And there are other headlines. Let's go to michaelsavage.com and the other reports that I go to every day. Here's the Drudge Report. Let's see the headlines on that one. That's what I do in the morning. I go to Obama launches profanity-laced tirades against press. Massive fire shuts L.A. freeways. Philly mayor says police officers increasingly afraid of community. USA and NATO close Afghan combat command after 13 years. Hagel stumped by soldier asking if we'll fall apart like Iraq. General has misgivings as mission ends. Military braces for release of CIA interrogation report. More unrest in Berkeley. Explosives thrown at officers. Agitators shut down New York City bridge during morning commute. Organizers look to keep momentum from fading. Feds lecture Ferguson residents on white privilege. And on and on. And there's no opposition party. No one on the Republican side is to be heard or seen at all. They're like the clown outside of McDonald's with makeup and a big bag of French fries in their hands. Before the election, they told us, vote for us and we'll do, well, we didn't know what. Fries in every house? Or what? They're going to give us free bags of fries? They've given us nothing. Germans take the streets to protest Islamization. Good for them. They got it. They had it coming. Their liberalism, which was a reaction to their father's fascism, has now led to Islamization. Because they were deballed with fear that they would be like their Nazi fathers and grandfathers, they were taught to be overly sensitive to any kinds of realities, including the takeover by the immigrants of Germany. And now they're waking up to the Islamization of Germany. Germans take the streets to protest against Islamization. Anti-immigrant protests claim to want to preserve Judeo-Christian culture as critics accuse it of harboring neo-Nazi elements. Of course, anyone who protests Islam, anyone who protests the vermin in the streets, anyone who protests the Occupy movement is immediately a Nazi. They never identify them as radical leftists, do they? Have you ever seen the word leftist take the streets? Never. Never. A new type of anti-immigration protest is sweeping across Germany as thousands take the streets against what they say is the growing Islamization of the country. The new protests, which you get in the city of Dresden, in the former East Germany, feature no neo-Nazi slogans and have nothing to do with the traditional far right. Instead, the demonstrators have adopted the old rallying call of the protests against the East German communist regime that brought down the Berlin Wall 25 years ago. Wir sind das Volk, or we are the people. They say they want to preserve Germany's Judeo-Christian Western culture. Can you believe what's going on in Germany? While in this country, everyone who sees what this... I have to control it. What this crypto terrorist in the White House is doing to this country, and there's no opposition whatsoever. When we see the crypto terrorism coming out of the White House and the Justice Department, and there's no protests against it. None. How is there can be no protests in America? While in Germany, the people are rallying against Islamization. Why is there no protest here? Why? Why? Why is there no saying such as borders, language, culture? Their saying is, wir sind das Volk, we are the people. If I led a protest of 10 million people on a march on Washington, I would call it borders, language, culture. Wouldn't you like to go to such a march? Would you like me to organize it? I can't. I wish I could say I could. I wish I could get up today on this day in December in 2014 and say, enough is enough. I've had all I can take. I've written 28 books. I've done 20 years of radio. I am now going to devote myself entirely to politics. And beginning tomorrow on the 9th, I'm going to begin raising awareness and raising funds for a march, a 10 million man or woman march on Washington under the banner borders, language, culture. I know many of you would do it. I can't do it. You know why? I'm not a community organizer. I don't belong to any organization. I don't even belong to a Republican Party group. Never have, never will. In other words, I'm a man alone. I'm one American with one voice. Where are the organizers for America in this country? Where are they? Where have they all gone? Where have all the good people gone? Why? Why? Okay, why am I asking these questions? If I keep asking these questions and my voice goes into a high squeal, It will sound like some of the talk show hosts who are now sounding like, well, I shouldn't say it. What was the name? Norman. I wrote this morning when I started. I listened to a squealer early in the day, and I said, we've gone from Norman Vincent Peale to Norman Vincent Squeal. Because increasingly, conservatives are starting to sound like something's being squeezed on their body, and they're squealing. They're squealing like stuck pigs. Oh, the left is no good. The left is bad. The left is no good. Ooh, the left does this. The left is bad. If only you had the Constitution. 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 All right, you get the picture. What would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? Let's go to some stations we haven't heard from. KCMO, that's in Kansas City. That's why it's called KCMO. Rick on KCMO, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Rick?
I always enjoy listening to you, Michael, because you always bring up the key points earlier, the salient points earlier than anyone else. You mentioned a few minutes ago that the image that the United States has from the Muslim world, from the moderate Muslim world, and I'm a Baptist, so I'm not a Muslim, but I can agree with what they would see. They see these filthy movies, this filthy language, and that's how they're picturing us. That's what they think we are. That's what they picture us as, immoral, and then we wonder why they get all upset with us and they want to change us. I'm certainly not a sympathetic.
So why, you know, I'm the only one in the media who's actually said that the Muslim world is inflamed not so much by our foreign policy, but by our movies, our social policies, the liberalization of our social policies, the absolute depravity, the vermin have destroyed the bedrock of the society. They've destroyed Judeo-Christian civilization, and now they're working on destroying the children themselves, not only by drugging them, but by damaging their brains with pornography day and night. And I say pornography not lightly. I don't mean the actual pornography of which we are all familiar. I am talking about the pornography that Katzenberg, and company produce on a daily basis under the guise of art. And they're very intelligent, very, very capable, great artists, and look what they're doing with their talent. And yes, these movies become our ambassadors. So they see our ambassadors on video for the salaciousness that it is. Is that simple?
Yes, and I appreciate you bringing it out.
Why am I the only one talking about family values left in the media? Can you explain that to me?
I don't know. I heard.
You know, we used to hear about family values. We used to hear about things like this 10 years ago in the conservative media. No one talks about it anymore. How is that possible? Have we lost not only the culture wars, but our brains?
Right.
You know what it is? I'll tell you what it really is. The sad truth is, I think if I have to analyze it on the spot, because I tend to think quickly, and I'm often correct, sometimes I'm not correct, I would say one of the reasons we don't hear much about it is that most of the people on the conservative side are older, and they've already had the children. They're not having children. And because of that, they're not interested in the culture wars anymore. Or they died off altogether. I'm like the last of the Mohicans, I guess. I don't know what it is. I'm still out here in the plains, you know, chanting to doing, trying to do the rain dance. I'm doing the conservative rain dance out on a plateau somewhere in America. And I'm hoping that the rain god listens to me and rains hellfire down upon the liberal vermin. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This message goes to Governor Cuomo, Mario de Blasio, President Obama, and Eric Holder. Who is going to have the guts to stand up to the gangs in America once you deball the police, once you handcuff them? We have gangs in this country like MS-13, which have initiation ranks in their native Honduras, which requires delivery of a body part from arrival. Delivery of a body part from arrival. Now, what are you going to tell the police? You're racially profiling someone with a tattoo 18 on their head, the Roman numeral 18, they're racially profiling them as they go in for a drug bust. What are you going to do to say that to the tax squads that risk their lives going in on these drug busts, that they're being overly aggressive and they're racially profiling drug dealers? Have you no idea what this is going to do to this society? Obama has released over 30,000 criminal felons into our society under his amnesty. Did you know that? Did you know the number? 30,000 criminal felons have been released into this society. In Honduras, initiating to the higher ranks of MS-13 requires delivery of a body part from arrival, I'm reading. Body part of arrival. Really? Delivery of a body part from arrival. So who's going to go in and take these men out when they commit a crime? Who? The police that Holder is calling racist white pigs? The police that Obama is calling racists? Do you have any idea what this is going to do to this country and what it's doing to us right now? Let's take some calls. Dave, in Las Vegas on KBET. Go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead and say it.
Thank you, Dr. Tavis. I just want to share my thought with you and see what you thought of it. Talking with a friend of mine, we're running along the lines that Obama and Holder are doing all this, trying to incite as many major riots across the country as they can so that they can go ahead and declare martial law and bring in your brown shirts. Shut down
their... Who are the brown shirts, though? Who are their street thugs? Who are they?
I don't know who they are. Or that's yet to be seen. But
well, let's talk about this with some utter clarity and not get hysterical. My feeling is the Ferguson riots were orchestrated from the White House, as sure as I'm sitting here, because they had months to plan it, and there's evidence to prove it, such as Obama meeting with the head of the protest movement the day after the election, telling him to stay the course. What does that tell you? It means that the street radicals, the communists from Chicago and elsewhere, and then the gangs in the streets themselves, the rioters who looted and burned, are the actual security forces that he's putting together in a disorganized way right now. And certainly threatens the middle class. Is that not true? Who's most threatened by this? Is it the people on top of it all in the private jets and the yachts? No. Is it the people in Hollywood who are never, ever seen? No. Is it Katzenberg, and Spielberg? No. Who is it? It's the white middle class in the suburb with the white picket fence. So why are Obama and Holder going after the white middle class like this? By the way, from whom most of the police come? Most of the police come out of the white middle class suburbs. You know that. So why have Holder and Obama decided to attack the white middle class in this country? What are they going to gain by this? The answer is they're going to get the hooligans on the bottom to vote in 2016. This is all about community organizers trying to get an entire underclass of criminals who never vote to register and vote to make certain that the Hildebeest becomes president and pushes the Alinsky social agenda further back in 2016. That's what it's about. Make no mistake about it. It's all about 2016. That's what these riots are being conducted for.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, let me give you a tiny, tiny history of a little history, because I don't do it too often, but it's very interesting to know a little bit about world history so you know where we stand historically right now. In America, we're having a communist revolution. It happened the day Obama was foisted upon us. You say, laugh all you want, I don't care. The riots now over the pretext of Ferguson and Garner are part and parcel of the plan. They're the convenient incendiary incidents that are being used by the communist leaders across America to bring about the final revolution that they've dreamed about all their lives. And the street thugs that they're using are just part of their army. Internationally, we see a troublesome inheritance going on around the world. We look around and we see what's going on. And wherever we look, we see a lack of stability. We see a world falling apart. Now, why is the world falling apart? Is it happening by accident? No. It's an unintended consequence of Obama's hatred for America and its power. It's his hatred for the excesses of colonialism, the returning the bust of Churchill was a signal. And as a result, nations that were unstable but controlled are falling apart, whether it's, well, not just falling apart. So let's look at Afghanistan. Why are we in Afghanistan? And what's going to actually happen in Afghanistan? If you look at the history of Britain in Afghanistan, and you see after World War I, Britain had a war fatigue like we do now. It's not that the British were weak. It's not that the British were weaklings. There was a war fatigue, British fatigue. And their positions along the Afghan border were very weak. And there was unrest in Afghanistan. And the enemies eventually won that war in 1919 and kicked the British out of Afghanistan. It's a tremendous military story that's being repeated right now under the weakness of Obama. He is destroying Israel by weakening our alliance with Israel and strengthening our alliance with terrorist Iran. Wherever you look, you see a world unraveling. Our natural ally in the war against radical Islam would be Russia and Putin. We know that he's able to do the job that needs to be done. He has the Spetsnazi, has the Russian military, and he uses them with great force when need be. That's another reason Obama hates him. Being a Muslim sympathizer, Obama is naturally has an antipathy towards Putin. The American left is just the useful idiots of this worldwide reorganization. I was talking about the partition of India with someone last weekend. Most people don't even know that Pakistan was created in 1947. They assume that there was always a Pakistan. They have no idea of the history of India. Nothing. No idea of anything. You know, we say Pakistan, you assume it's been there forever. All we hear is about Israel, created around the same time after World War II. But Pakistan was created in 1947 as a result of the partition of India. Did you know that? The partition of India was the partition of the British Indian Empire, which led to the creation of the states of the Dominion of Pakistan, which then split into the Islamic Republic of Pakistan and the People's Republic of Bangladesh. Remember the Beatles did a concert in the 70s, Concert for Bangladesh? You had no idea when you went and danced to that tune about the poor people of Bangladesh. You were being manipulated by the international Islamist movement. You had no idea. Most Americans have no idea because they're steeped in drug, sex, and rock and roll. And their minds have been warped by generations of distortions. So if you look at Pakistan again, you'll realize it didn't exist. But India was cut apart because of Gandhi. Gandhi was a good liberal. Gandhi believed in the rights of man. Gandhi believed the Muslims should have their own nation. And as a result, they carved Britain up after the British were thrown out of India. And along the way, about 500,000 to a million people died in the separation in India. You don't know that. See, the road to hell, they say, is paved with good intentions. So Gandhi, the great peace-loving Gandhi, may have had good intentions. I'm sure he did. But he didn't realize that 500,000 to a million people would be killed in the retributive genocide that occurred in the Punjab region alone. Did you know that? Did you know that 14 million Hindus, Sikhs, and Muslims were displaced during the partition of India, all a result of Gandhi? Did you know that? Did you know that 14 million people, those 14 million people, comprise the largest mass migration in human history? What does it have to do with you and the price of a loaf of bread or the cost of a joint? It has a lot to do with the cost of a joint, since many of the drugs now come out of Mexico. Actually, drugs have gotten cheaper. Now that we have open borders with Mexico and no enforcement of drug laws in America as a result of Obama and Holder, drugs are cheaper. And as a result, there are more and more drugged children who don't understand anything going on around them any more than the nightclub owner in Sausalito knows what's going on outside of his dance club. They have no idea. And there is the world according to Michael Savage. Phone number here is 855-407-282. Any topic is fair game. I want to go to michaelsavage.com with you right now and see which topics I have chosen to put on the show. Let's see. Black guerrilla gang preparing to shoot on-duty police officers, according to the New York Daily News. Post-Ferguson, Michael Savage seeks out the White House transparency. That was an interesting article in the Washington Times this morning. It's a short article by Jennifer Harper, who I admire very much. It's one paragraph. I'm not going to bore you for an hour, as Norman Vincent Squeal did today. But listen to this. Here's what she wrote. One observer of the ongoing debate over police brutality remains quizzical about the evolving public narrative, particularly the White House Oh, I just lost the article. I got an ad for an airline. Quizzical about the evolving public narrative, particularly the White House role. If only President Obama would look in the mirror. He's calling for an investigation into Ferguson and similar incidents, but he should ask himself how he could create trust and transparency when it comes to his own behavior in the White House. Of course, he never asks himself such questions, declares Talk Radio's Michael Savage. Instead, Obama talks about working with street agitators to come up with solutions instead of with ordinary American people. Obama also said he was worried about how much military equipment is being handed down to the nation's police forces. Now, let's say your husband or your father is a policeman who is working in a community where the gangbangers have AK-47s and other assault weapons. What are they supposed to do? Get out on patrol, go out on patrol naked? The police need this kind of equipment in these kinds of communities, Mr. Savage concludes. The American public, meanwhile, remains uneasy. Melancholy new public opinion numbers reveal that 53% of Americans say race relations have gotten worse under the Obama administration, according to a Bloomberg politics survey released Sunday. 45% of blacks, 56% of whites agree. Another 36% say things have stayed the same, blah, 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 blah. So there it is, in a nutshell, the world, according to me, post-Ferguson, Michael Savage seeks out the White House transparency. We have time for a few quick calls. If you want to grab a line, 825, I don't know my number. 1-800, I forgot my number, I swear to God. Oh, here it is, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-407-282. Laura on WFTL in Florida, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael Savage. I love your show, and I agree with everything you say. You are brilliant. I wish I could meet you in person.
Well, you're not the first woman to say that, so.
No, I'm not. I hear you have more than 25 females.
Remember, I had a woman on Friday, a psychologist, who wanted to date me, but unfortunately, we can't eat callers' cakes, and we can't date callers.
No, I don't blame you. I wouldn't do it either. Forget it.
There's a few rules in radio. One is never date a listener, and number two, never accept a gift from a listener that comes to the radio station, such as, "Dear Dr. Savage, Bobby and I just love you to death, so we baked you a cake over the weekend. Please enjoy it with Teddy."
Do they send along a food taster, too, in case that food taster dies first?
That's why we don't eat those cakes. They're usually thrown in the trash bin. Actually, I've asked the security officer in the radio studio to hand it out to the nearest Occupy protest group.
I love it. That's perfect. But listen, I want to tell you, with your comment you made about the Islamists and what they think about our culture and what we do, and my point is, first of all, how do they know what we're doing? And it's only because they're watching it, too, and I'm sure enjoying every minute of it. And how dare they comment on what we do in our country. They do what they want in their country.
Well, here's the little secret that most Americans don't know. America is a rather small market for Hollywood. It's no longer the biggest market in the world. It's only one of many markets. So when Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg figure out which movie they're going to go to get funding for, they don't only think about the American market. They're now thinking about the Muslim market, the Chinese market. You see what I'm saying? So they have to appeal to the sensitivities of these cultures, but they don't. Unfortunately, they don't. So instead of showing terrorists for what they are, they don't. Instead, they produce salacious films which insult Muslims.
No, I think they like it, too. They're just saying they're being insulted. They absolutely like it. Otherwise...
Well, that's a given. I understand that. I mean, one of the biggest users of pornography in the world, as I understand it, nationally is Pakistan. Did you know that?
I'm not surprised.
That's right. One of the biggest, as I understand it, number of hits coming into porn sites is from Pakistan.
Yeah. I'm not
because surprised. It's a repressed culture, and as a result, they need an outlet. And I mean, we'll just leave it at that. We don't have to make jokes about it. That's the reality of it. Laura on WFTL, you're such a nice lady. Because I can't date you, I'm going to send you Stop the Coming Civil War.
My God, that's been my dream. I love you. Thank you. I want to read.
Your dream is to get a book? You couldn't go buy it?
No, I'm cheap. And I always forget, too. I'm sorry.
Thank God we're not dating, because I'm not going to, I'm certainly. You mean when you go out on a date, the guys ask you to pay?
I have never paid for a date in my life. I'm 31. I've been married 31 years, and my husband is the best.
Oh, you have a husband. I'm sorry. He's liable to get mad.
Oh,
listen,
no.
Laura, here's the thing. It's advice to young women. If a man and you go, if girls in their 20s, 30s go out on a date and the guy asks them to split the bill, A, refuse to pay, and B, walk out of the restaurant and never see him again. Am I right about that in terms of dating? It's my analysis. Any man who asks a woman to split the bill on a date, never ever see him again. Get up, throw the napkin on the table in a huff, finish the wine and leave.
Exactly. But the problem,
that's my opinion. Stay on the line, Laura. We'll send you the book. That was fun. I don't know, every time we get into this dating stuff, it's fun flirting on the radio. It's, you know, it's a little break from the hard work that I do. It's also safe. I mean, safer than going to a dance club where you got a pothead, you know, standing in the doorway telling you that he hates books and writing and any knowledge because he knows everything because he can make pasta fazool. What do you want to talk about? We got so much to talk about. It's just the first day of a long week, and the top Belgian banker found dead in North Sea. Updated list of dead bankers. I didn't get to that one yet. How do you like that? I have a list of all the dead bankers that have occurred who have died under questionable circumstances this year. How do you like that? Dead bankers. Who would have thunk? I have all their names right here. Put them on the website. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Including Monday's show, let me tell you something. What's it all about? It's about the two racists running America, meaning the troika running America is dividing America in a way you could never imagine. You know, there's a saying coming out of the Alinsky School, the communist who was one of Obama's mentors, and Hillary's, by the way, Saul Alinsky, never let a crisis go to waste. But what about a crisis you create? What about creating a crisis that never existed, like using Ferguson to wage a race war? What about Eric Holder, the most racially irresponsible man in the history of American government? This is a man who would be very happy burning the country down. He's now saying all cops are racists because they have unconscious bias. This is now thought control and thought police, and it's coming from the radical communist left. I could get angrier and angrier as I go on, but I don't intend to get angrier. I'm going to get more sarcastic and more comedic as I go on. For example, the beginning of today's show, Jim Verdi, one of the producers of the Savage Nation, a new member of the group, produced a wonderful sound piece about how Michelle and Barry met way back when. Now, that the reason it provoked this is last Friday we read that Hollywood is producing a biopic or a movie about the romance of this wonderful couple who's given America so much peace and harmony and hope. So he said, let me do something for you over the weekend. So now listen to Verde Productions, How Michelle and Barry Met.
In a time of unrest and revolution in the city of Chicago, something lay below the surface of two radical revolutionaries.
We were at a law firm together. I was a summer associate. She was already practicing law. And I had been sort of eyeing her for a while, but she was acting real professional.
Right. My assumption was this guy's got to be kind of weird.
Love.
He was cuter than I thought he'd be. We clicked right away.
Barack Obama and Michelle Robinson. Two radicals falling in love in Southside With You.
We sat out on a curb on a summer day and had ice cream, and that's when I asked her if I could kiss her.
It was a cool date, actually. We spent the whole day together.
One man, one woman, sharing a common goal. Transforming a great nation into a racially divided cesspool.
And then we went to see Do the Right Thing.
Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. It just come out.
Barack and Michelle communing over communism.
And that was another thing that drew me to Barack, was his work as a community organizer.
Fight the power!
Southside With You, a Hammer and Sickle production, now playing at a theater approved by the state, rated R for radical revolution.
Okay, now we're going to move on. Other stories of the day are related. In Berkeley, the vermin have looted and burned and attacked, ripping apart stores, robbing merchandise from stores. The Radio Shack on Shattuck Avenue at Dwight Way was ransacked. Later, the Whole Foods store on Telegraph was looted, with people taking and passing around bottles of champagne. How's that for a peaceful protest, you radical pieces of garbage, you? And you know who I blame? I blame you white, lily-white professors who live in the Berkeley Hills and the Oakland Hills. I hate you. You stirred these vermin on. But you know what happened? When one of you tried to act like the peacemaker, when one of your radical friends with skateboards and the dreadlocked folk broke into Radio Shack, you went over and said, oh, put the merchandise back. And what'd you get for it, you white moron? You got your head bashed in. When are you going to learn that he who sows the wind will reap the whirlwind? You communist liberals in Berkeley have destroyed the Bay Area, and now you're going to burn the country down. I only hope that your friends with skateboards and Molotov cocktails don't come running up the hills of Berkeley to your safe white sanctuaries. And on that wonderful note, we'll conclude the Savage Nation and pray for a day when this left-wing scourge leaves America so we can pick up the broken shards and rebuild our borders, language, and culture. God bless America.